are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is happening? And welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Friday, December 7th, and two MVP candidates coming to Little Caesars Arena this weekend. This is your boy Matt Shook, a sports writer here in the Motor City, covering the NBA for the Associated Press and the Detroit News. Pistons fan and follower my whole life, just like you guys, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Thank you for the listen, and what's up to all the new listeners out there? Really appreciate you guys coming along to the Locked On Pistons podcast. We do this every weekday, most of the time. Sometimes we only go 4 days a week, but we're transitioning into 5 days a week these days. I'm a Royal Oak guy, grew up here, but living in the city of Detroit now, went to CMU, also knew that I wanted to be a sports reporter my whole life, an announcer like Ernie Harwell, a reporter like Mitch Albom, so I'm here doing that. By the way, Mitch Albom has the Radiothon going on today. I believe that's still at Somerset Mall, but I will be donating somehow, some way, maybe closer to the holidays as well, and you guys should consider doing that too. A lot of great work with the Say Detroit Super All Year Detroit, the charities that he has, of a cluster of charities that he started since the Super Bowl came here in 2005, I believe, and just some great work that Mitch Albom of the Detroit Free Press does. I know that with some sports fans, Mitch has kind of moved out of the realm of their world, and he's kind of moved on to bigger and better things with the novels and the old man columns that he does on the front page on Sundays for the Free Press. But I'm still a Mitch guy, always will be. Ride or die with Mitch Albom, that's my guy. So, consider donating to the telethon there that he does for the Say Detroit charities. But anyway, today we're going to look ahead at tonight's game against the Philadelphia 76ers and also look ahead to Sunday against the New Orleans Pelicans, who are bringing Anthony Davis in town. I also have a story from the road from one of our loyal listeners, and we'll give an update about the injuries the Pistons have in the backcourt and how they might be affected and how they might be dealing with them this weekend if those guys, Reggie Bullock and Ish Smith, are not able to give it a go. But give me a follow on Twitter at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that. Also, the Locked On Pistons Twitter account. And then check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons-MattShook. We really appreciate all you guys doing that. And also find me on Instagram, by the way, Matthew and then underscore Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, Matthew, M-A-T-T-H-E-W, in case you didn't know how to spell my name, which you should learn, by the way. But anyway, Pistons on a bad two-game losing streak, as you probably know by now, especially margin-wise, losing by 27 points on Monday night to the Oklahoma City Thunder, then 23 on Wednesday to the Milwaukee Bucks on the road. Both blowouts, to me, felt like more than that. Completely out of the game very early, and just it got worse and worse after that. And Philly is in town on Friday night, and then the Pelicans in town on Sunday for a 3:30 matinee, both games at Little Caesars Arena tonight on ESPN at 7 o'clock against the Philadelphia 76ers. Joel Embiid, Ben Simmons, Jimmy Butler, J.J. Redick, just stars all over the court for the process, which worked. And congratulations to Sam Hinkie for putting it together and all those guys. And we'll see how the Sixers are able to progress. They've got some stars on there, and they made the Butler trade, which is part of the process to collect all the assets and strike while the iron is hot, and they think they got their guy. And this will be the first look for the Pistons against Philly since the big Jimmy Butler trade from the Minnesota Timberwolves. He joined Brett Brown's team, and I almost called him Bruce Brown. I tweeted that one time that during the pregame interview we did with Brett Brown, I did tweet that he was Bruce Brown, and I thought that was on my mind, and as you can understand as someone following the Pistons, why I might do that. But the Sixers recently have had a pair of four-game winning streaks lately, coming in winning 8 of 10 overall, but lost their last game on Wednesday in Toronto. Certainly no shame with losing to the Raptors on the road. Many teams have done that, but not your Detroit Pistons quite yet this season, although they will have another trip to the Great White North. The Philly 76ers are 17-9 on the season, sitting in the 3 seed in the East, ahead of two games ahead of the 4-seeded Pistons, who are just mere percentage points over Indiana for fifth, and I believe the other team at sixth, and maybe Boston. So, I mean, the Pistons are right in that 4-6 category. So, a loss here, and they're probably dropping down to six. But the Sixers are an outstanding 13-1 at home in Philly this year, but 4-8 on the road. So, not very good away from the city of brotherly love. So, tonight is the one to get if you are the Pistons. These teams will meet again on Monday night in Philly, and that will be the second of a back-to-back for the Pistons. So certainly The odds will be stacked against them on Monday night. So again, go get the 76ers. Go end this horrible week that the Pistons have had Monday and Wednesday. And get this win. Get a big win in front of the home crowd. And beat Philly at home for the second time this year. Jimmy Butler is getting comfortable with Brett Brown's team in Philly. Scored 38 points on Wednesday in a loss to the Raptors. Butler is getting 20 points a game since he joined the team. He's played 11 games now for Philly. He is starting along with Benton Harbor's Wilson Chandler, who got the start on Wednesday night, although that's something that's been changing night in and night out. Mike Muscala got a start recently. So we'll see what Brett Brown does with the starting lineup. Wilson Chandler missed the first handful of games this season with an injury, didn't play in the game in Detroit earlier this year. And that's that Markel Fultz Memorial starting spot. Markel is going to be out for a while as they figure out that nerve situation that he has right near the shoulder area. Chris Carpenter, the former St. Louis Cardinals pitcher, had that too, the thoracic outlet syndrome. And I probably just butchered the name of it. Maybe we can give it a medical guy at some point to explain to me. Sham, if you're listening, let me know what's up with that nerve injury on the shoulder. But, you know, if I could digress on Markel Fultz a little bit, and obviously a name thrown around in a lot of trade talks these days, not a guy that I think the Pistons should target because I think the Pistons are a team that's looking at winning now, and Markel's got to figure out his injury situation first of all and then get that shot together. Certainly no guarantees that Markel Fultz is going to have any kind of success this season on the court, but a guy that might be worth taking a flyer on, especially if you're a team in tank mode, if you're a team that's in asset accumulation mode right now. I think it might be more likely for a team like that, the Atlantas of the world, that might throw a package together or maybe throw a veteran and a pick or something like that to try to maybe hit the lottery on a guy who was the first pick of the draft just last year. So certainly a guy who has all sorts of talent that some teams out there will covet, but I just don't think it's the right move for the Pistons. But again, for Fultz, I was actually relieved to hear, and I know it's bad every time you hear about an injury situation, and this one might be a little bit more scary than your typical, you know, ankle turn or something like that, but relieved that there was something physically wrong with him and then maybe that could get fixed, which could turn into something that could ultimately help his shot going forward, because it was so sad to see him. And I wasn't one of those guys, by the way, and maybe someone could pull up an old podcast episode where I made jokes, but I'm not one of the, I'm not one of those people that make jokes, and I'm not here, you know, talking down to the people who may have cracked a Twitter joke or something like that too much, but that's not, I mean, it was sad to watch him shoot. It was sad, those free throws that he was double pumping. So, you know, not really quite a shame on you if you did make jokes, but to see a guy who's making his living and playing basketball and obviously worked very hard to get to the NBA, finally got there, and now can't shoot a free throw without double pumping. Obviously, it's something he's aware of and something he'd love to fix, but for whatever reason, mentally, or and as it turns out, probably more so physically, he couldn't make it happen. So shame on you. No, I'm just kidding. But it just wasn't my thing to be making jokes about Markel Fultz. And like I said, although it's a difficult health situation, hopefully it's something that can be taken care of and something he can rehab with after he gets done with that and maybe return to the player that he hoped that he would become and that the Sixers hoped he would become when they drafted him. But it will be very interesting to follow the Markel Fultz saga as it continues, and it will continue. J.J. Redick getting the start also now, which was not true earlier in the season. I remember Landry Shamet got his first NBA start in the game in Detroit, the Wichita State guard that they got late in the first round of the draft this year. Joel Embiid was 5 of 17 on Wednesday against the Raptors in the loss, and 4 of 13 in the game before that when they beat Memphis earlier this week. Joel Embiid said, "I sucked," after the game on Wednesday, and also said, "The last couple games I've been so trash." And so, hey, here's a chance if you're Andre Drummond to go take him down when he's down. Go get rid of this bugaboo that you have, the real estate that Andre Drummond owns in your head, and make it happen. By the way, they did the interview for the broadcast tonight with ESPN, and it was released late tonight on the internet, and Joel Embiid was asked about Andre Drummond and the feud that they have, and he went on to say it was nothing personal and says he just enjoys playing basketball and making guys look silly. And obviously, if you watched Drummond play against Embiid these last couple of games, he takes it a little bit differently, maybe a little bit more personally, and lets it get into his head, and he's really struggled with him. We saw Drummond struggle earlier this week against Steven Adams on Monday against the Oklahoma City Thunder. Here's another chance for him to prove himself against one of the upper echelon centers, another guy in Embiid who's a little bit more old school than maybe your Karl Anthony Towns or Nikola Jokic types that are the new style NBA centers. And I know Joel Embiid will go out and shoot some jumpers as well, but also a banger, a guy who's going to go shot for shot with you body-wise in the post, and we'll see how that transpires. Going to be a really interesting one, that's for sure. Ben Simmons had 7 turnovers on Wednesday in the loss, by the way, as well. And the problem with the Sixers, especially since they made the trade, and especially since they've had a couple of injuries too, no real bench production with this team right now, with all the good players starting. And we know they made a couple of pickups, I believe, Ilyasova and Bellinelli on the waiver market last year. That may be something that the organization is looking at this year. But the trade that they made really cut into their depth by trading Robert Covington, Dario Saric, Jared Bayless as well. Just a team that really struggles off the bench. The Pistons' second unit can maybe get things going tonight. Yeah, we know the 76ers are a very good team. We know they're very top-heavy. We know that Joel Embiid has had all sorts of success in the past against the Detroit Pistons and Andre Drummond. But I think this is a game the Pistons certainly can win, certainly will not win if they play the way they did on Monday and Wednesday. But you got to believe Dwayne Casey has this team's attention, and certainly they will give a better effort than they did earlier this week. Or else maybe we got a problem if they go ahead and get blown out 3 straight games. But the Pistons, again, will play Philly again on Monday. A little bit of unfair scheduling quirk, as the 76ers will not play a game in between Friday night and Monday, while the Pistons will be playing Anthony Davis and the Pelicans. So maybe the NBA's most talented player there. So not good times schedule-wise lately for the Pistons, who are playing rested teams, rested very good teams as well. But up next, we're going to talk about those Pelicans who are coming to town on Sunday. But is your company looking for a new way to reach customers? You could be mentioned right now on the Locked On Pistons podcast. We know that podcast listeners are 60% more likely to interact with sponsors that they hear on their podcast, and our demographic is 98% males with more education and earning power than your traditional media audiences. So have your company sponsor Locked On Pistons. Go ahead and email me at Matt_Schoch, S-C-H-O-C-H, at yahoo.com to find out more.
Yes!
Later on, we're going to hear a listener story from the road, and I want to hear yours too, so send those along. We're also going to be talking about the interesting way that the Pistons might be combating injuries this weekend to the backcourt, and also, is Blake Griffin a top 25 player so far in the league this year? But New Orleans coming to town on Sunday, but they're going to play tonight, the Pelicans at home against the Memphis Grizzlies. The Pelicans come into tonight's game at 13-13, right at 500 on the season, outside of the West playoffs. That won't get you in the West playoffs. Probably get you in the Eastern Conference playoffs by the end of the season. But the Pelicans had a recent 4-game losing streak, but they've been pretty much win-loss since then. Julius Randle, who was picked up in a nice move by New Orleans in the offseason, playing very well lately. He had 37 2 games ago, 27 the other night, so back-to-back games. Leading the way, at least tying for the team high for the Pelicans. Anthony Davis had 27 and a career-high 9 assists the other day. So Randle's getting a lot of minutes, grabbing a lot of rebounds. He had a 27-18 in that win the other day, and Anthony Davis was able to not concentrate so much on rebounding and did some playmaking, only grabbed 4 rebounds. But, Julius Randle, when he's out there together with Anthony Davis, really helping shoulder the rebounding load. We know about Drew Holiday, of course, as well, a nice point guard who had kind of and he's always been a very good player, but had a kind of a national coming out party in the playoffs last year as they handled Portland in the first round before going down against the Golden State Warriors. Nikola Mirotic was sick and has not played. He didn't play on Wednesday. That was his second straight game that he missed with the illness. We'll see if he goes tonight against Memphis. I would imagine that he'll probably be back, certainly by Sunday against the Detroit Pistons. And really, when Mirotic comes back in the lineup, Randle, he's the sixth man on this team. He comes off the bench, but he did start the other night with Nico Mirotic out, and they moved Etuan Moore out of the starting lineup and into the second unit just to have some more firepower offensively off the bench. But Anthony Davis playing at an MVP level and just an outstanding player, a treat to watch. I think he has the Palace record for most points in the regular season game, I think like 70 or something like that. And at one point he had the record at Little Caesars Arena as well, and I think that's been since broken. Maybe Blake's 50 the other day did it. I'll have to check that up before the game on Sunday. But Drew Holiday, he's getting 20 points a game despite shooting 28% from three. AD's getting like 37% from three, so having a good year outside the stripe for him. Mirotic, when he is playing, he's getting 19 a game right now. And then you got, like I said, Julius Randle and Etuan Moore as reliable scorers as well, but not a whole lot of depth on this team after that. A big drop-off after those big five scorers. Then you got guys like Darius Miller, Wes Johnson, Frank Jackson. Just not guys you want playing a whole lot of minutes in the NBA. So you wonder if that depth might be the undoing of this team. And interesting, it's although we talk about this Anthony Davis and Joel Embiid and all the stars on Philly that are playing with Joel Embiid, these are two very, very thin teams depth-wise. So the Pistons bench might have to carry it a little bit like they had during that five-game winning streak. And we know from watching basketball over the years that bench players seem to play better at home, the more comfort of the home cooking and the home rims and all that stuff. So, you know, sure, we want Andre Drummond to play good against Joel Embiid. We want Anthony Davis to get shut down, or not shut down, but, you know, bothered a little bit by defensive players like Blake Griffin and Andre Drummond. But I think that these games might be won and lost by the Stanley Johnsons of the world. If Ish Smith is able to play, then maybe he can be a guy who makes an impact in this one. Maybe a surprise like a Langston Galloway shooting himself back into form. Zaza Pachulia getting some buckets and playing some nice, non-scoring effective offense, those kind of things. And maybe the rookies, maybe Bruce Brown and Khyri Thomas. If Khyri Thomas gets some real legitimate crucial minutes, maybe those guys can make an impact if they're out there. We'll see if they've got it in them. I mean, we'll see. We haven't seen it in a little while, but Solomon Hill is another guy who's getting minutes, a defensive player there. Jahlil Okafor landed in New Orleans, but he's not really getting any burn until garbage time right now. When I saw his name on the stat sheet for New Orleans, by the way, my mind went to Emeka Okafor, and I was wondering if they brought him back again, but that appears to not be the case. Emeka is not playing in the NBA right now. But if you remember, after 4 years off, Emeka Okafor came back and played 26 games last season with the New Orleans Pelicans. One of the things that I saw in an NBA game last year that really made me jump off the screen. I mean, what is that, Emeka Okafor? What is going on? Took 4 years off and returned to the league. We've never seen something like that in a while. But good on him for coming back and helping that team to the playoffs and starting a bunch of games and having a nice little run. But not back in the NBA. He did that at 35 last year. He's 36 years old right now. Probably seen the last of Emeka Okafor. But the Locked On Podcast Network is something you have not seen the last of. We're doing unprecedented things on Twitter and Instagram. On Twitter, follow Locked On NBA Net. You get all the Locked On Podcast Network local hosts covering their NBA team on one feed. It's amazing during games, breaking news, and to get the local perspective. On Instagram, follow Locked On NBA Net, giving you the biggest stories in just 1 minute in your Instagram stories and then longer cuts on the biggest stories in your feed. So make sure to follow Locked On NBA Net on both Twitter and Instagram. But up next, we're going to hear a listener story from the road and also talk about the interesting way that the Pistons might be combating injuries to their backcourt this weekend. And is Blake Griffin a top 25 player through 1/4 of the season? That's next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast, which is a proud member of the Locked On Network, your team every day.
This is Andy from Ann Arbor and calling with a story from the road. A few years ago, I was in Miami and I was watching the Pistons play against the Heat. The game was notable for me because I was wearing a Kim English jersey to the game. I'm a big Mizzou guy, and Kim English is a Mizzou legend, and when the Pistons drafted him, I knew that was the jersey I had to get. And so I was at a concession stand, and somebody took a picture of me from behind with that jersey and tweeted it to Kim English. Later on, he retweeted it and said something like, "Buy this man a hot dog." But what was the other reason why that game was notable was because during the game at halftime, a fan hit a half-court shot, like a hook shot, and he won like quite a bit of money, I think $50,000 or $75,000. And then right after he hit the shot, LeBron James ran out and tackled him and like celebrated with him. It was all over SportsCenter. It was a big deal. And I was at that game.
Andy from Ann Arbor, I love it. I love that story. I remember that game that ended up on SportsCenter and all that stuff. And I love the Kim English jersey, too. I actually know Kim English a little bit. We've talked a few times. I wrote about him in Springfield, Missouri. And it makes sense that he was your guy as a Mizzou fan because Mizzou fans love Kim English more than anything in the world. That was their guy, and for good reason. He was an outstanding college player on a team that won a lot of games. I think it was Nicholls State that knocked him out in the first round, though. Unfortunately, a 15-2 win. And I was actually at Mizzou when that game happened, covering the Missouri High School State Basketball Finals at Mizzou's arena while the Tigers were losing to, I think it was Nicholls State. I could be wrong about that. But a 15-2 game that was a tough, devastating loss for that campus community, as Frank Haith's team was one to watch, and people were picking them to maybe go to the Final Four. But it was not to be. Marcus Dedman, I believe, was the point guard out of Kansas City, and Kim English, just a Baltimore guy, I believe. Tulsa, so when Kim English was at Mizzou and coming out of Mizzou, and he was just kind of an icon in the state of Missouri, so he was doing a lot of basketball camps around the state, came down to Springfield, Missouri, and at that point was on the Pistons. So I talked to him quite a bit there, and actually saw him in the Virgin Islands too when he was, after his playing days, he played in Europe a little bit after he left, or after he was cut by the Pistons, played in Europe a little bit, but ended his career pretty quickly because he wanted to be a coach. He always was like a student of the college basketball coaching game, and quickly became a coach. I don't know if he was at Mizzou briefly, but he ended up as an assistant coach at Tulsa, where Frank Haith was after his Mizzou days. And so they came down to the Paradise Jam when I was covering that in the Virgin Islands, and reconnected with Kim English a little bit there, talked to him. So he'll be a college basketball head coach someday. He's at Colorado right now, one of the great young minds in college basketball. And like I said, he will be a college basketball head coach sooner rather than later, maybe if Konzo Martin is done someday at Mizzou. I would not be surprised for Kim English to be the head coach in Columbia, Missouri for the Mizzou Tigers someday. My quick road story, in addition to the one I shared partially yesterday from Cleveland, I went to an NBA Finals game. This wasn't a Pistons road game, but as a fan, when I was living in Springfield, Missouri, we drove over to Game 2 of the Oklahoma City Thunder against the Miami Heat, and had a bunch of beers before the game with Mike Miller's family when he was playing with the Miami Heat. Met Mike Miller after the game, talked to Cousin Ernie quite a bit, had some beers with him. It helps in those situations to have attractive women with you at the games. I have found that it helps get you into situations like that. But had a great time in Oklahoma City, Bricktown. Go visit it if you can. Maybe later this year with the Detroit Pistons. Give me a road story here as also. But what else? What other road stories do you guys have to share? And another of the interesting questions that I threw out there yesterday's show, and I've already got a response from Chris from Detroit, anxious to share that one with you. But what random Piston was your favorite over the years and why? And I'm not talking about Isaiah or Joe or even Dave Binger, Lanier, or Chauncey Benn, Blake Griffin. Not the superstars, not the all-stars, not the guys with the jerseys and the rafters, but who is the oddball pick that you like? Who was your guy and why? Chris from Detroit gave one answer that I knew we were going to get, and anxious to share that one with you guys. But also, by the way, check out the Locked On Lions podcast. Check out Locked On Spartans, Locked On Wolverines. Matt Derry, Isaiah Hull, Will Hunter, those guys do a great job with those podcasts. The update on Ish Smith and Reggie Bullock is that they're both questionable going into Friday. My guess is both of them don't play based on some things that I've been hearing and reading about those guys. Dwayne Casey said something interesting, too, that he might see the rookies getting some burn as the backup point guards, maybe in favor of Jose Calderon. So look for Bruce Brown, the experiment of point guard, to maybe start as far as NBA regular season games there. And maybe even Khyree Thomas getting some burn as the point guard. I'm not sure if Dwayne Casey quite meant that Khyree Thomas might be playing point guard. Maybe he meant that he'd be getting some two-guard minutes in lieu of Bruce Brown getting those point guard minutes instead. But something to keep an eye on with this weekend, and hopefully Ish Smith and Reggie Bullock are able to get back as quickly as possible. And it's also interesting to see what kind of minutes Luke Kennard gets. Looks like Dwayne Casey's kind of easing him back into action with that shoulder injury, probably limiting him for, you know, maybe another few games or so before Luke gets the confidence back and the strength back to mix it up. But I want to also point out that the ringer.com had an article, the 25 best players through 25-ish games this season, not Ish Smith, but Ish games this season. And they had Blake Griffin on there as the 16th best guy through 25-ish games this year. Andre Drummond was nowhere to be found on that list in the top 25, and 12 Eastern Conference players made the list of the 25, so just about half of them. So under those contexts, maybe they believe that Andre Drummond is not an all-star right now, although Joel Embiid was pretty much the only Eastern Conference big man on that list, and we know filling out the All-Star team, you only need a second center on there, so maybe that could be the thing that gets Andre Drummond onto the All-Star game, but obviously plenty of time before those selections will be made in February. What do you think about that? Do you have a reaction? By the way, if you're going to react to the questions we gave out about the road stories or about your favorite Piston and why, 810-666-1546 is the number. That's the Google Voice number for the Locked On Pistons podcast. Easy to remember, 810, in honor of my Blue Water area past when I used to live in Port Huron, the 810 area code. 810-666, sign of the beast, easy to remember that. And then 1546, that's Vinny Johnson, Joe Dumars, Terry Mills. If you're obsessed with Pistons past, like you know your boy and host of the Locked On Pistons podcast, Matt Shook is. But thanks, you guys, for listening. Give us a follow on all the social medias. Rate us and review on iTunes. Enjoy the games this weekend. We'll talk to you on Monday with a recap. We got a special guest coming up sometime in these next few games or few days as well. Excited to share that interview that we'll be taping soon with him, a member of the organization, a new guy with the organization, and a local guy as well. So excited to talk to him and share that one with you guys. But enjoy the weekend, everyone, and thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you guys on Monday.